Outstanding. There's a little bit of good. What's the word I'm looking for? Talent, I guess you could call it. God-given talent in that family. Just a little bit. We give the Lord the glory for it. Glad to hear those precious girls singing for the glory of the Lord. Beautifully done. Beautifully done. The only thing that'd make it better is if I join them. What are you laughing at? You know what I mean? Man, you all keep me humble around here, you know? Exodus chapter 32, please. Exodus chapter 32. We began a message this morning on Mount Sinai, and we're doing a topical study on the mountains of the Bible. And we're on Mount Sinai for the second service in a row. The good Lord willing, we'll get done with this mountain tonight and proceed to another one in the near future. Exodus chapter 32, look at verse number 7. Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 7. The word of God says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. And I will make of thee a greater nation." Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, "Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I've spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." Now again, we're preaching on Mount Sinai. And on top of this, understand that during this time, Moses is on Mount Sinai with the Lord. Now just to review right quick, and then we'll pray together. We've noticed three of the 5 points as we consider Mount Sinai. Number one, this morning, what we've been doing is just giving you major things that took place on that mountain, and then summarizing it with one word, if you will. And then we're trying to apply these things to our lives. This morning we looked at the word communion, and how Moses on that mountain spent much time communing with God, and how you and I need to spend much time communing with our Lord. Secondly, we looked at the word direction, because on that mountain is where God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. And we notice under this, the direction, we notice God's supremacy, that God is supreme. He has every right to tell mankind how to live, because he's the creator. Secondly, under that, we notice man's sinfulness, that no matter how good man may think he is, he's not good at all. The Bible even says that. He's bad, he's wicked, he's a sinner. Thirdly, we notice salvation, and what we did was just tap the tabernacle on the head. I mean, literally, that's pretty much what I did, just tapped it and gone and went on. And how salvation was provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to this text here, and we come to our fourth point. I'm going to pray with you, and then we'll begin our fourth point of this message on Mount Sinai. Just 5 major topics, and we're taking something from each topic that we look at. We come to topic number 4 tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you. Help us now. May the will of God be done in this service. Thank you for your sweet spirit already passing by this way. And I pray that you'll help me as I preach tonight to be filled with your power and your spirit. Empty me of myself. May your will be done, I pray. Defeat Satan, his evil spirits, in Jesus' name. Amen. The fourth major word that we're bringing out, by the way, they all have shun on the end of it, just in case you're wondering. Communion, direction, salvation. Now we look at what I call intercession. Intercession. Now in these verses here before us of the Word of God, we see Moses has been up on Mount Sinai for a good while communing with God. Now while he was up on the mountain, the people below approached Aaron. If you remember, they say, "We don't know what's happened to this man." And they ask Aaron to make them
gods, little g, to go before them. Aaron told them to break off their golden earrings. And he took these earrings and made them into a golden calf, and they said, "These be thy gods." How foolish, honestly. After this, Aaron built an altar before this golden calf. Now it's interesting that Moses is still up in the mountain. And God tells Moses exactly what's going on. Now this is just a side note, but that just tells you God sees and God knows, folks. He knows all things, he sees all things. And he tells him to get down because his people have corrupted themselves and turned away from the way in which he commanded. He then told Moses to leave him alone so he could consume them and make a greater nation out of him. However, you see a good look into the heart of this man of God. And this man of God, Moses, took that time to pray for the Lord to spare these people. He begs the Lord to have mercy and not consume them. What he was doing here, folks, is he was interceding on their behalf and on behalf of these guilty people. These people had broken the command of the Lord and they deserved to die for it. However, one of God's own went into the Lord's presence and interceded for them and prayed for them and besought the Lord on their behalf. You know, in the same way tonight, mankind has sinned before the Holy God. And because mankind has sinned, mankind deserves to die. That's Romans 6:23. However, the Lord has provided the way of salvation, John 14:6. And even though man is guilty, he can be forgiven by simply trusting the Lord as his or her Savior. Now, we who have already been saved, now get this, I'm trying to apply this now, should spend our days interceding on behalf of those who are not saved. These people are on their way to an eternity in the lake of fire. God's wrath abides on them. If they'll repent of their sin and receive the Lord, they'll be saved. And let us spend our time in the presence of the Lord, interceding for these lost people, that the Lord will extend to them more time so that they can make the right decision. Let me ask you a question. This convicts me. But how much time did you spend last year, since this is the first service of this year, I'm going back to last year. How much time did you spend last year interceding for lost people? How much time did you spend last year up on Mount Sinai? I'm talking about when God says, "My wrath's going to come down on them. I'm going to consume them." And yet Moses fell before God. And on that mountain, he's interceding for these guilty people. You know, on the flip side of this, obviously we can learn from this and we ought to be interceding for lost people. But on the flip side of it, let me remind you here that these were God's people who were doing this. And may I say this to you, that God's people every now and then get mixed up with the world. God's people kick the traces, if you will. And it's not up to judge whether they're saved or lost. That's God's department. But may I say this to you, that God's people can get mixed up with sin. And what God's children who are not mixed up with sin, I'm not talking about perfect, nobody's perfect, but I'm talking about those who are right with God, would do well to pray for those who are not right with God. You know, the devil will try to get you to think, well, they're off in sin, they say that they're God's child, they ought to know better. If they get it, they've got it coming to them. By the way, sir, ma'am, it's only by God's grace, that's not you down there. And I'm telling you that one thing we learned from Mount Sinai is the major thought of intercession. Of one of God's people who's right with him, going into his presence on behalf of those who are not right with him, and begging God to have mercy. God, give us more of God's children who intercede for each other. I covet your prayers. I hope you're interceding for me, your pastor. I hope you're interceding for the staff. I hope you're interceding for the leadership. I hope you're interceding for other people. But by the way, listen to me, folks. You cannot intercede for somebody else unless you're right with God yourself. And I'm telling you tonight that we learn the major thought of intercession.
The word of God says in Psalm 106:23, therefore he said that he would destroy them. Get this. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Now, I don't understand all that. I'll be honest with you. But what I get from that verse is that he was going to destroy them. But one man stood in the breach. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. That convicts me. Because we know that there are people out there next door in our neighborhoods, down the street, Kingsport, Johnson City, around the world, who have God's wrath coming down on them. It's just a matter of time. And what God's children need to be doing is on the mountain with God, interceding for them, praying for them. That's a major thought. I hope you'll take it home and use it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 9. Hold your place here in Exodus, but flip to Deuteronomy chapter 9 with me just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 20. We're looking at this major thought. Now, we're looking at Mount Sinai, and there's not one major thought with this message. A lot of times I like to just give one major thought and drive it home. I love to do that. But this particular message with Mount Sinai, there's not one major thought. There's five. And in these five major thoughts, we're just giving you the story that took place on that mountain, giving you one word to identify it, just kind of summarize it, and then try to apply it to your life. Communion, direction, salvation, intercession, praying for others. Deuteronomy 9:20, look at it. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed it. And this is Moses speaking. And I prayed for Aaron. That's intercession. He prayed for Aaron. Right here where the word of God says also at that same time. Look at verse number 25 of that same chapter. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. As I fell down at the first because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin, lest the land which thou broughtest us out, say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by thy mighty power and by thy stretched out arm. And this is a man speaking. And Moses said God was going to destroy you. He was going to take you down. And for 40 days and 40 nights, I begged God for you. I begged him to turn from his wrath. And praise God, he did. In that we learn a great lesson that there's power in prayer. Power in prayer. And we need to spend our time praying and interceding for others. Then we end this message with Exodus chapter 33 and following. Flip back to the book of Exodus. Go to chapter number 33. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 12. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture right here. And I'm going to bring in the last point of this message. And this last point of this message is what I was talking about in that song of the choir so wonderfully sang that we need him, no doubt about it. Look at Exodus chapter 33, verse number 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. He must have a pretty big hand. What do you think? Amen. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And the Lord said unto Moses, shew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai. There it is. Present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. Now verse number 5, it starts to get a little bit happy. What I mean by that, I'm telling you something, folks. When I was reading through this, just even right before the service, just going back over this message, this was a blessing. Now listen, before I even read verse number 5, Moses is communing with the Lord throughout this chapter. And he says, who's going to go with me? You haven't told me who's going to go with me. And God speaks and says, my presence is going to go with you. That's all he needed, isn't it? And he said, if you go not up with us, then don't take us there. I'm paraphrasing. Then Moses had a bold request. He said, God, show me your glory. God said, I'll be merciful to who I'm merciful to. I'll show you my glory, but I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. You can't see my face, Moses, because if you do in your humanity, you'll just melt away. What glory that must be. But he said, there's a rock over here. And he said, you come up here when I call you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in the cliff of the rock. And I'm going to pass by and I'm going to cover you with my hand so you don't see my face. And when I get by, I'm going to take my hand away and I'm going to let you see my back parts. Wouldn't you like to have been Moses? Isn't there something inside you that says, man, I'd like to be that right there with that? I'm trying to take you right back to this place. By the way, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you're going to see more in his back parts. You're going to see his face in every part of him. Amen. But here's the thing. After that, he says, make you two more tables of stone like the first two that you broke. And get up and come up here to Mount Sinai. So Moses rose up early. Wouldn't you get up early if you knew the Lord's going to show you his glory? Huh? Wouldn't you? I might get up with a preacher if I knew that, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. He knew that he was going to see God's glory. So he got up early in the morning. And he went up in the mountain. Notice what happened in verse number 5. Now just let this sink in, folks. You know the reading of Scripture is powerful. As we just read it, it's the word of God. And notice what happened, verse number 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. That's enough to carry through the week right there. And proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now here's what he did. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. The Lord God. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. Notice what Moses did when he saw the Lord. And Moses made haste. You know what that means? That means he boogied. That means he hurried. And he bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it's a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We could read on and read on and read on. As a matter of fact, in
in chapter 34, verses 29 and 35. I'm not going to read it. But we see that after this meeting, he came off the mountain and his face was shining. He had to put a veil over his face. It'll show when you've been with God. Amen. That's another message. That's a seed thought for you right there, my friends. It'll show on your face when you've been meeting with God. And in all of this, what do we see? The major thought I see is this. It's the word vision. Vision. You could go with the word revelation, if you will, but it kind of means the same thing. In this reference, what we see is we see Moses got a fresh glimpse of the Lord God of heaven. You know, in Exodus 33:12, all the way through the end of chapter 34, we see Moses ask the Lord to let him see his glory. I'm going back and reviewing. The Lord tells Moses he'll pass by before him, but that he could not see his face because no man shall see his face and live. He tells him he'll stand upon a rock and the Lord will cover him with his hand, pass by. Then he would take away his hand and proclaim his name as he saw the back parts. Moses went up on this mountain as he passed by. God proclaimed his name. And in this name, he gave some great truths about himself. First thing he said is, the Lord. By the way, notice all the letters. What are they? They're all capitals. What is that? Somebody tell me. That's Jehovah God. You know what that is? That's the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. It means if he promises it, he'll do it. That's Jehovah. That's Jehovah God. Then he goes on to say, the Lord God, merciful. Let's just stop as we go through his name here just a moment. Let me ask you a question. Where would you be without God being merciful? Where would I be without God being merciful? You know what mercy is? Withholding what one deserves. You know what we deserve? Hell. The lake of fire. Judgment, condemnation, because one of his names is merciful. That means he withholds what we deserve, if you're one of his now. And he goes on to say, and gracious. Folks, listen to me. The grace of God not only saves you, the grace of God is your life. You understand what I'm saying to you? Everything you have is God's grace. Amen. What I'm talking about is this. His mercy is withholding judgment. His grace is giving what is not deserved. The air you breathe, you don't deserve it. Neither do I. It's God's air. And we've broken his law, and he doesn't have to let us breathe, but he lets us breathe. That's grace. That's grace. It's the grace of God that saves a person. In other words, mercy is withholding hell. Grace is giving you heaven. That's what grace is. It'd be enough if he would deliver us from hell and then we'd just disintegrate. Nothing after the grave. We're not going to burn forever, praise God. But we're not going to live anywhere either. We just cease to exist. You know what? That would still be enough. That would still be a blessing. Not to have to go to hell. That's mercy. But when he saved you, he not only withheld judgment, he's going to let you walk on a street of transparent gold someday. He's going to let you have a glorified body just like his very own. He's not going to look at you and say, I'm going to have to hold you down a little bit. You can see my back parts. No, he's going to, listen, the word of God says we'll see him as he is, for we shall be like him. You know what that is? That's grace. We're noticing his name. He's saying the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering. That's a big word that simply means patient. We're not very patient with each other, are we? Go ahead and smile. You're not very patient with each other. Neither am I. But I'm glad God is patient with me. Where would we be without God's long suffering? Then he goes on to say, in abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, sin, by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children. In a nutshell, what he's saying here, he's saying, I am merciful, I am gracious, I am long-suffering, I'm abundant in goodness, I'm abundant in truth, I am forgiving, and I'm also just.
I will not let sin get by. When Moses saw this great vision of God, he hurried and bowed himself toward the ground, and he worshiped. What a mighty sight. Now, through the eyes of Scripture, God has let us look in on this that's taken place. But can you see Moses, whenever God held his hand over him in the cliff of that rock? Make yourself Moses here, folks. You're hiding in the cliff of the rock here. God's big, mighty hand comes and covers you. And as he goes by, he takes his hand off. And can't you just see Moses sticking his head out and looking like this? And all he hears is the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant mercy, abundant goodness and truth, forgiving and just. And when he saw that mighty sight, he said, in haste, I bow to the earth and I beg God and I worship him. What a sight. You know what we need? We need a fresh glimpse of our God. We need a fresh glimpse and a vision of his majesty. Because when we truly see who and what the Lord is, we also will bow our heads. And we will worship, being ready to do whatever he wants us to do, whenever he wants us to do it, wherever he wants us to do it at. Our need today is to see God high and lifted up. The reason so many people are living in disobedience to the Lord is they don't know him. Because when you see him, you will desire to do whatever you can for him. May God give us all a vision of himself. Now, I'm reminded of Misty Carrier. She's with the Lord. She was killed in a car wreck several years ago when I was a student at Crown College. Her mom and dad are in Texas. They were in New Guinea, Scotty and Gloria Carrier. Remember, I was talking with Misty one day, and she made a statement like this. She said, Jody, she said, I know the Bible says there's no tears in heaven. But she said, I'm going to be honest with you. She said, I think I'm going to bawl like a baby. Because she says, whenever I get happy or feel the Lord's presence, I'm paraphrasing, she says, all I can do is cry. You know, that's what I do. Some people get up and shout glory and swing from the chandeliers and wave their handkerchief. Some people just in the inner councils of their heart, nobody hears a peep out of them, but in their soul, God's blessing them. And without anybody ever hearing a word out of them, they're worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness inside their heart. Some people weep. Tonight, I'll be honest with you. I felt God right back here just a minute ago. I felt his presence. And it's like when he passes by my heart, it's like he grabs my heart and squeezes it. And it comes out my eyeballs. Can you just imagine? Now, I'm about done here. You know I don't mean that when I say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm about done. Can't you just imagine in your mind's eye one day you are going to see God. You're going to see him in all of his glory. In all of his honor, in all of his majesty. And when we see him, you know what it's going to be? It's not going to be, oh, look what I've done, hogwash. You know what it's going to be? I just dare say, it's going to be us falling prostrate, saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy to receive honor, glory, majesty. Can't you just see him looking at you, going back to Wednesday night and saying, I wanted you to see me like this. And the only way you could is when I look at you right now, you're faultless. You're without blemish. I've saved your soul. I'm going to tell you something. Something inside of a child of God yearns for the day when they get to see God.
just let it sink in just a little bit, you're going to see Jesus. Praise God. I mean, just listen. Let's just let the holy hush fall over this congregation. Someday, what Moses saw from the back parts, we're going to see from the front parts. We're going to see God. You know what that ought to do? It ought to make somebody inside go, whoop, that's good. It ought to make somebody who's normally silent, hold my baby a while I shout, honey. Give me a bushel, I can shake it a while. I'm telling you, it's not in emotionalism. But if you're a child of God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's something inside of you that says that's right. This is real. I'm going to see God. And can't you imagine when you see him? He says, oh, let me show you somebody. And there comes your mate that you lost several years ago. There comes your mom and your dad. There comes your great-granddaddy who taught Sunday school at Buffalo Ridge, old Mr. Brian Wheelock. There he is, boy! And there's Mama Locke right beside him. Can't you imagine the day it's going to be when we see God? Man, that's good right there. That ought to help you. That ought to, listen, that's enough to chew on from now until eternity comes rolling around. Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. High and sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. Hebrews 12:2-3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. As we look at Mount Sinai, there's five major thoughts. Those thoughts are communion, direction, salvation, intercession, and vision. And I'll be honest with you, if you don't take anything else away from this message, take this. If you're saved, your future looks mighty bright. Amen. If you're not, he wants to save you tonight. If you'll open your heart and say yes to the Savior. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. That someday, we who are your children, we are going to see you face to face. Help us, Lord, to have a glimpse of that today. Through the eyes of faith, help us to see you high and lifted up. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. The message tonight was twofold. Two of the 5 points were intercession and vision. Have you know of somebody who's lost? It's not that, I'm not talking about general terms, I'm talking about you personally know somebody who is lost. It could be a co-worker, it could be a fellow student, it could be a fellow athlete, it could be somebody in your family. If you know somebody in your life who is lost, would you raise your hand in the air with my hands? That's amazing. Put your hands down. Have you know somebody who is a Christian, but they're away from the Lord? They're saved, at least they claim to be saved. They're a professing Christian, but they're not living right. Have you know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand? If you raise your hand, I want you to look at me. The reason I say this is because that's an overwhelming majority of them. Maybe all of them. Now, I realize that many of you, maybe all of you, are spending time interceding for these people. And depending on how long you've been praying for them, you may have been tempted to throw in the towel. You may have been tempted to say, it's doing no good. But upon the authority of God's word, I'm just telling you what God said. Moses said, under the inspiration of the scripture of God, that God was going to destroy you until I stepped in the breach. I stood in the breach, and God heard my prayers. Now, I'm not asking for all of you to come to this altar. I'm not asking that, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm trying to encourage you, don't quit praying. Don't stop praying. You might be the only one interceding for them. By the way, how many did it take to intercede for the nation of Israel? One.
God spared a nation for one man's prayers. He might use your prayers to spare an individual. It's enough to keep on your knees about it. I'm going to ask every one of you who feel led in just a moment to come and continue your intercession right here. If you can't get to the altar, make an altar out of your seat. If you can't kneel down, come to the front seat and sit down. But let's be intercessors for these people, whether they're lost or those who are Christians, professing Christians and away from the Lord. Thank you. You can bow your head. Let me ask you this question. How many of you need a fresh glimpse of God? Now understand, all of us can raise our hand to this. Let me ask it this way. How many of you all, God has passed by your seat tonight? It could have been in the song service. It could have been during the preaching. It could have been before. But sometime today, God has passed by you. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. That's a lot of you. God bless you. You know what we ought to do? We ought to say, God, help me not to do anything to hinder another visit from you. Thank you for passing by my seat, my life. Keep yourself preeminent in my life. May you be on the throne of my heart. Keep our eyes upon him. However God's dealing with you, as Brother Gary sings, let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God's dealing with you about interceding for somebody, if he's dealing with you about getting a fresh vision of God, if he's dealing with you about seeing God high and lifted up, whatever it is, as Brother Gary sings, many are starting to come now. You come now as Brother Gary sings. You come on as he sings. Come on.
Are you weary of trouble? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a
know that you are God. turn your eyes upon Jesus, the things of this world really does grow strangely dim. Sing his chorus one more time. I'm going to be going out as we sing this, but I want us to sing it as a prayer unto the Lord. We want to bow our heads and close our eyes. It's our closing prayer. Let's sing that chorus one more time. And I appreciate you being here. Try to be back in your place Wednesday night. Bring somebody with you. May the Lord help us as we sing this together. Sing it.